سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم، حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله اوله بلا اول كان قبلا واخره بلا اخر يكون بعدا الذي قصرت عن رؤيته ابصار الناظرين واجزت عن ناته اوهام الواسفين ثم الصلاه والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب الله رب العالمين ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكمه الكتابه المجيد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناه على البر والبحر صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد. Like as we discussed in the very beginning, some of the historical aspects so that our young ones kind of focus so far what we have discussed. So I would request all three of you young lad, if you guys come forward with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Good. We were talking about the lifetime of the fourth Imam. Yeah? Look at me. Don't stop. Close that. Good. All right. That's good. All right. So we were talking about the life of the fourth Imam. What was going on at that time and how difficult it was. Were you there? You guys were there last night or the before? You were there. Okay. Good. So we pointed out to a few very important things that, you know, that you should remember. What did the fourth Imam said in regards to his followers or in regards to his lovers? How many were there? There were about only 20 in Makkah or Medina. And we have another hadith from the sixth Imam. He named how many? Five. So they were. So imagine a situation where there is only 20, if you want to take, or five, who are considered as the followers of Ahl Bayt. This is the time of the fourth Imam. And look where the followers of Ahl Bayt or believers of Masumin alayhi salam have reached today. So it was the task, the responsibility, and the success of the fourth Imam which made that Islam reach today where it has reached today, right? There were many opportunities from some of those who did the uprising. How many people were killed in that uprising? About 6,000 to 7,000 people killed were in that uprising, right? And Imam did not, you know, approve that uprising, you know. And we talked about one of the scholar at the same time. What was his name? Good. Zuhri. That was the scholar who was fabricating the hadith, was making false hadith. He joined the Bani Umayyah. There were two sort of khilafat running at the same time. One was the Khilafat, the Bani Umayyah, the Yazid and the other Khalifas who came. And the other one was in Makkah. What was his name? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. It was Abdullah ibn Zubayr who was the Khalifa. And they were fighting with each other. And finally Abdullah ibn Zubayr was defeated. And there was one very shrewd and cruel tyrant, governor. What was his name who was appointed in Medina? What was his name? What was that governor's name? Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, right? Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. How old was he when he died? 51. Yeah, 51. And he was so cruel that when he died, there were about 50,000 in the prison, men, 30,000 women, 16,000 in one prison altogether, a prison that had no roof, right? So therefore, you know, we saw that Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Another salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So this was the life, this was the historical situation at the fourth Imam, and how was the cultural values at that time? Mixed gatherings, right? And people having lady singers, they used to sing, people used to attend. What was her name? Jamila, you know, that lady, that singer who traveled from Medina to Mecca, people welcomed her, right? So, and how the fourth Imam left the legacy or transfer the knowledge through what book?
Sefer.
Right, and also there's another treaty which is called? The Treaties of Rights, you know, Risale Huquq, which is considered as a Treaties of Right. What does it mean by treaties of right? Treaties of right mean that, you know, we as a human being have to fulfill our responsibility towards the things that are around us. You know, Allah will ask us, right? What did you do? You know, when you ask for some gift from your father, right? Like money, for example, he gives you. He will ask you, where did you spend? Obviously, you have to spend in a good way, right? Right. So the same way, I mean, Allah have given us the life and He has, you know, given us things that are around us. We have to fulfill our responsibility towards them. So the fourth Imam, yeah, look at me, look at once, yeah. The fourth Imam have given us the way to deal with them. For example, what is the right of my eyes? You know, how should I behave towards that? That I should protect from committing haram. The right of my tongue, the right of my ears. The right of, you know, of my parents, the right of my neighbor, the right of the animal, you know, how should I treat them? So the fourth Imam wrote all of these things and informed the followers of the Imam, the Muslims, because they have lost those values. It wasn't there. They have lost it completely. So the Islamic values, Islamic ethos, akhlaq is very important. You know, that we should have those things. Just memorization of the Quran, memorization of the prayers is not enough. Islamic values is important. Respect is important. You know, humanity is important. You know, the fourth Imam, one of the person who was the killer of his brother Ali Akbar, he took refuge. You know, when the Yazidi came and attacked Medina, where 4,000 people at that time were killed and massacred, the house of the fourth Imam was a safe haven. People were taking refuge. They're protecting their life. They will go to the house of fourth Imam. And because the fourth Imam wasn't doing the uprising, because he knew there were only 5 or 20 people. If we do, they all will be killed. Right? So he said, I'm not going to support this uprising. So everybody knew, those who are attacking Medina, they knew that this house is of the fourth Imam. You know, Ali ibn al-Hussein is the son of Hussein. He is not the one who is doing the uprising. So that house is safe. Don't attack that house. So a lot of people, they took refuge in the house of the fourth Imam. And one of the person who took refuge was the killer of his own brother. And in the morning, when he was about to leave, he tells the fourth Imam, you might have not recognized me. Then the fourth Imam says, do you think that one could forget the killer of his own brother? You know, he knew who it was. But look how Imam treated. Look how he behaved. Even with the enemies, right? Imam Ali, when he was injured by the sword, by the poisonous sword of Ibn Muljim, he was unconscious. And as soon as he comes back to conscious, as he had some sort of, he used to wake up, he would ask, how is Ibn Muljim doing? Take care of him. You know, his own killer. You know, this is how the Imams behaved. This is how our Imams are. So we have to learn to be forgiven, our heart should be expanded. You know, now we are fighting it for little things among the brothers, unfortunately. We are talking about how they treated the enemies. You know, I was reciting majlis at the house this morning, and I mentioned that in the Masaib, Imam Hussein says that I've been killed, you know, while I was crying, right? One of the reasons that Imam Hussein was crying was for the Ummah. That he was crying that, you know, it is these human beings, they are insan, they are fellow human being. And because of the act that they are committing, because of that they will end up in hell. So his heart was with them. He was trying to save them till the last minute. Why was Imam Hussein asking water when to shimmer? Does Imam Hussein want water at that time when he's about to be killed? But he asked for water, right? Because he wanted to bring that mercy to the heart of Shimmer. He wanted less azab for the Shimmer. At least if Shimmer gives water, perhaps he might not kill me and he will not end up in hell. So the Imams, they always care for all of humanity. Just like how God cares for everybody. So we have to be like that. We have to go to extreme to really save humanity, to really save our fellow humans. Fir'aun, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so many chances to Fir'aun, over and over again. Tells Musa, speak to him leniently. You know, try to guide Fir'aun so many times, although he is the arrogant and tyrant ruler. Right? A person who becomes arrogant, one thing I'll mention here, a person who becomes arrogant, he makes stupid mistakes. He makes silly mistakes. Right? Whoever becomes arrogant. Fir'aun, as he was the arrogant, the most stupidest mistake was that to jump into the Red Sea. When Fir'aun have seen so many miracles, the miracles of the frog, the miracles of the lice, the miracle of, you know, blood, water, you know, the grasshoppers, he's seeing with his own eyes, and finally he jumps into the Red Sea. You and I will not jump. After seeing this man is so powerful and doing so many miracles, now obviously I'm going behind him. If I jump into it, you know, the water is there, the water is gonna come on me, right? So when a person thinks of himself of some value, when he thinks he's the king of kings, right? The Ramses the second. And then he made that silly mistake. So whoever regard oneself or thinks that he is the super sort of human or becomes arrogant, he makes silly errors. But on the other hand, look how Musa treated Fir'aun. You know, Musa said, I don't want your kingdom. You keep it. Just give me my people. I'll leave and accept me as a prophet. Accept God. That's all I want. But that ghurur, that arrogance that Fir'aun had, he wasn't letting it go. That ego, that nafs, you know. So many a times, not on that big level, you know, not on that great level, but on smaller issues, we have these things. You know, maybe an Xbox game, maybe something that you don't want to share, you don't want to give, right? Okay, so we got to be very careful, as we are the followers of the Imams, whose hearts were fascinating and amazing. You know, the place, everybody got a place in the hearts of the Masumeen alayhi salam. Yeah? Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, as we are, tonight is the last session of ours where we are looking at three phenomena. One was the phenomena of self-recognition. Everybody likes to be self-recognized. That is in the nature of man. Because we are the product of God, and God is the one who says that I have created the creation in order that I be recognized. So the product will resemble him. You know, if God is Rahman, the product will be Rahman. If God is Rahman to his perfect sense, the perfect product will be Rahman to his perfect sense. Like the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, right? So therefore, self-recognition is something essential and natural. Everybody likes to have it, right? Now, this self-recognition that a person have, it brings about, one would reach to that, or one would achieve that through a method. And that method brings about dignity, which we talked about, izzat. And the other thing that we discussed was karamat. As Allah says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَاهُ بَنِي آدَمْ. Bani Adam have been honored by God. We have become human being. It is an honor given by God without doing anything. We haven't done anything, but Allah created us as a human being. And we said, a person who fulfills his responsibility towards this honor given, he will gain izzat. He will gain dignity. You know, izzat, which also comes from that very name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Aziz. You know, Allah is Aziz. You know, izzat, that honor, that dignity that a person gains, it is perpetual, it is ever eternal, And it cannot be contaminated by any. Because Aziz, you know, the name Aziz, which is the name of Allah, and Izzat also is an offshoot, or it comes from there. See, Aziz means that someone who cannot be influenced, or his command cannot be influenced by anything. The king is known as Aziz, right? Ya ayyuha al-Aziz, you know, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the king is known as Aziz. So when the command of Aziz comes, that means that command is not influenced or cannot be changed, cannot be robbed, nobody can go against that command. That's why he is Aziz. You know, in the du'as of Safar, we recite, you know, Ya Shadidul Quwa, Ya Shadidul Mihal. 10 times we are supposed to recite these du'a in the month of Safar, which is pointing out to those names which are, you know, the sour names, the Asma'i Jalali. You know, there's Asma'i Jamali, there's Asma'i Jalali. The month of Safar, as being it heavy, requires those Asma'i Jalali, you know, to repel those negative energies. So here the Asma'i Jalali, in which we recite, you know, Ya Shadidul Quwa, right? In which we recite 3 times, Ya Aziz, O Ya Aziz, O Ya Aziz. So we are invoking that name of Aziz so that his command cannot be influenced or cannot be changed. We are going under the protection of Al-Aziz. So the Izzat same way. When a person fulfills his responsibility that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as karamat, you know, as an honor, then he gains that izzat, and that izzat cannot be robbed, cannot be changed, and it is eternal. Like the izzat of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala and like the izzat of any one of those who will fulfill their responsibility towards the honor that is given. Old age, it's an honor. You know, it has, you know, they are respected automatically, right? So one have to behave in accordance to the old age. You know, those responsibilities, you have to fulfill that. You know, if you see an old man with a tank top, with a shorts, for example, you'll be like, you know, what's happened, Haji Aga, you know, right? So he will not gain that izzat. But if he is an old man, you know, if he behaves according to what he is responsible of, you know, taking care of the children, being kind, being nice, giving du'as to everyone, right? Right? So that will bring izzat automatically, you know. So therefore, so we got that down now. Now, we were talking about the khutbah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which I would like to finish that tonight. And I would relate, as we said, that we'll conclude by understanding why is it that we tend to forget the honor that God have given. You know, why? What really makes us forget that? With the help of a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, "Uthni ala Allahi ahsan as-sana." The best of sana, the best of praise is to Allah. Ahmadahu ala sarrai wa dharrai. You know, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the things which are of joy, happiness, Imam Hussain on the eve of Ashura. And at the same time, at the time of turmoils and difficulty, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni ahmaduka ala an akramtana. This is the word which I wanted to focus on, right? Akramtana bin nabuwa. Oh Allah, I thank you because you have honored us with nabuwat. Allah have honored, Imam Hussain is saying, Allah have honored us with nabuwat. Wa allamtana al-Quran, you have taught us the Quran. Wa waffaqtana fi al-deen, you have given us, you know, success in our deen. And then I said this one, which we'll discuss tonight. Wa ja'alta lana asma'an, and you have given us asma, which is ears. Wa absaran, eyes. Af'idatan, you know, the heart, pointing out to the heart. Faja'alna min ash-shakirin. So Allah have given me the eyes and the ears and the heart by which I could see Tawheed. You know, as we said, the whole journey of ours is nothing but learning about Tawheed. That's all it is. The Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, they were here to establish Tawheed. The Anbiya and Awliya were sent to establish Tawheed. The Quran is there in order that the Tawheed be established. It is a journey of all of us and whole of creation to know what Tawheed is, to its detailed, precise intricacies that exist, and no one could really explain that other than Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. Other than Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. They are the one who have that depth inside about true Tawheed, right? You know, they have that knowledge and they have really transferred that, right? And Imam Hussein, his whole sacrifice was for that. It reflects that. We said, why is he saying La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah over and over again? Why is he saying Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Why is he saying that, you know, I'm pleased in this way? It doesn't really make any difference to me. You know, as he's saying, Athana stana, you know what I mean? So here, Allah, you have given me the eyes, and you have given me the ears, and you have given me the heart which understand that tawheed. There's a verse in the Quran which says, لَقَدْ ذَرَانَا لَجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرٌ. Certainly I have made the Jahannam and Kathir full of those lahum qulubun la yafqahuna biha. They have heart, but their heart do not understand. They have ears, but their ears do not hear. They have eyes, but their eyes do not see. They see it, right, no? But the real tawheed, they don't see it. The haqqaiq and the truth and the reality, they don't see it, right? Right, and this seeing is on different levels. Like we said, you know, a person is seeing the Prophet is so throwing the arrow, but the God is saying it's not the Prophet who is throwing; it is God who is throwing. You see, that is also seeing. You know, so therefore here, Imam Hussein is thanking, and the verse continues, and it says that, you know, ulaika kalhum an'am. You know, they are like animals. Balhum azal. No, they are worse than animals. Because at least animals, they tend to see what they are supposed to see. But human eye is supposed to see the higher levels. They are not only supposed to see this dunya, what is in front of them. And even this, he is not seeing it properly. Why? You know, فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. You know, because they are forgetful. Because they are forgetful, they are not seeing these things. They are not able to grasp them. They are not able to understand. That's why Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes to the steed of the horse, you know, on the steed of the horse, where he speaks to the enemies and he says that I'm trying to guide you, I'm trying to invite you towards deen, thank you very much, I'm trying to invite you towards deen, but my advice is falling on deaf ears. And then after that he says, it is because of your bellies are filled with haram. So as the bellies are filled with haram, it is not allowing them to really hear. They are hearing, you know, the enemies, the Yazidis, they were hearing what Imam Hussein is saying. But what they are supposed to hear, that message of Tawheed, that message of Haqq, they were not hearing it. There's a verse in the Quran which says that, you know, إِنَّ السَّلَاةَ تَنْهَانِ الْفَحْشَى وَالْمُنْكَى. Certainly prayer, salat, is something that will protect you from evil, you know, fahsha and munkar and corruption. So it's our prayer, it's our salat, it will protect us from, you know, corruption and evil, right? Now, if it is not doing that, then really we need to check whether our prayers is correct or not. Anyway, the verse continues and it goes. That's what I wanted, the reason I brought this verse is point out this. In the conclusion, I'll mention that. وَلَذِكْرُ akbar, but the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is akbar. It talks about salat. That inna salata, salat is something that will protect you from, you know, corruption and evil. But zikrullah, remembrance of Allah, is akbar, is greater. Now, many of the Sufis, they say that zikrullah is akbar means they have to chant the name of Allah. Salat is not that important, it's secondary, but the primary, because zikrullah is akbar. That is why they take that route. But the imam, when he is interpreting this verse, he says that this zikrullah is really the halal and haram that a person is focusing. That is zikrullah. The salat is there, which will protect you from corruption and evil, but zikrullah al-akbar is that the halal and haram of God is zikrullah. Because, wailun lil-musallin, as the Quran says, vow unto those who are worshippers. They are worshipping, it's not that they are not worshipping. But may the curse or vow unto those who are worshipping. Why? Well, zikrullah al-akbar. What is akbar, what is greater of value is to really see what is halal and what is haram. If one is involved in gaining halal, then when he prays, that will have a value of the prayer. If he is gaining haram at the same time, you know, he is praying, what good that prayer is. That's why the Imam is saying, your bellies are, they were hafiz of the Quran. You know, when they killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they said Allahu Akbar, they gave the takbir, you know. They got the fatwa from the Qazi to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam, right? But, wali zikrullah al-akbar, the zikrullah they have forgotten. You know, they were not engaged in acquiring halal rather than haram. And because of that, it was not affecting them. So here Imam Hussein says that, you know, I thank God who have provided me with that heart which is able to understand that truth, that reality. And that, and those eyes which is able to see the different dimension and the different levels on a deeper level of what really Tawheed is. And this is where the Imam wants us to take. Like we said, you know, there's one existence and there is no, it can't be other than that. There's only one existence. If we believe that, that becomes shirk. And that is the existence of God. And we have to come to understand that. And the example that I gave was that on that level of Jabarut, on the level of the Asma, you have the name of Mumit, which is Allah. On the level of Malakut, on the level of angelic realm, you have the Malakul Maut or you have the Israel. But it is that very name of God which is Mumit. It just can't be other than that. When it comes down from that, you know, from that Arsh A'la, when it comes down from that throne, from that level of Asma Ilahi, which is sublime, which is unique, then it comes down to that angelic realm and it takes forms. And it will take the form of Israel. And when it comes down to that mulki plane, to this dunya, it becomes maut and nothing else. And that's why the fourth Imam have mentioned that maut is nothing but mukashifa, which means unveiling of the reality of Israel. When he sees Israel, Israel is right here. Israel is right here. It just cannot be. He cannot be not here. Because Israel is mumit and God is right here. وَهُوَ مَاكُمْ أَيْنَا مَا كُنْتُمْ As much as Mumit is here, as much as Rahman is here. As much as, you know, Rahim is here, as much as, you know, Ghafoor is also here. You know, that's why, you know, these Azadaris become the source of mercy. These gatherings, because it tap into those Asma Ilahi. You know, when we are gathering, you know, when we are crying, as we talked about crying this afternoon, you know, when we are doing that, when we are engaging in these activities which God have commanded to do, then we tap into these realities, those manifestations of that Asma that is taking place right here. So the fourth Imam says that it is nothing but that mukashifa, that a person sees Israel. You know, that's why that person dies, not the person who is next to him. You know, he's not been able to see that, right? So it's one reality. So the Imam is saying, oh, thank Allah that he has given me this sort of vision, that I could see that divine vision, that divine understanding of this reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and here after which he says, Amma Ba'd, you know, after which he says, if you are ready for what I am ready, obviously, because Allah akramani bik, as we recite in Ziyarat Ashura, you know, give us the honor. You have been given the honor from God to who you are, O Aba Abdullah. You know, we recite in this is karama. This honor is given by God. The honor is given by God. And it is us who have to say labbaik to this honor, which will bring that izzat, you know, which will bring that sort of dignity to us. So here he says that, you know, it is easier for me because min al karamate bima yushelo. Sahel, asan. Because of the karamat that is given to me, O my companions, it is sahel for me. It is easy for me to face tomorrow. And at the same time, he says that, you know, for you guys as well, min al karamatillah ta'ala. Allah have given you karamat as well. We've been honored by a Muslim. As we are Muslim, automatically, you know, it becomes easier for us to fast. It becomes easier for us to do that walk from Najaf to Karbala. Because of the love of Hussein, it's an honor to us. You know, it becomes easier. And that, when we do that, it brings about dignity. It brings izzat. If we carry our responsibility towards that honor which is given out as a gift. You see? So the performance of that, fulfilling our responsibility towards that, it becomes the ashab of Imam Hussain, that's what he's saying. Now that you're here, it is an honor for you. It is an honor to be the companion of Hussain. Many wanted to join Hussain, but they did not. For many sincerely wanted to join Hussain, but they did not. You know, those who will go this year for Karbala, it is an honor. None of us here would say that I don't want to go. We all want to go, but for some reason the honor been given to them. Right. And they have given that labbaik, they are there, it's an honor. So the ashab, and it will become easier for them. You see, so the ashab, he's saying that you've been honored and it will become easier. Now here is the conclusion of the whole khutbah. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ الدُّنْيَا هُلُوهَا وَمُرُّهَا هُلُومٌ. Know that the dunya and its bitter and its halawa, it is sweetness, it will go away. It will mur, it will pass away. The difficulties and also the joy, it will just go away and it will be like a dream. You know, it will be like a dream. You and I know we had the best of time, but it's just like a dream, it's gone. You and I know that we had the worst of time, but it's gone. It's like it has remained like a dream. But what remains, he says, is fil akhirah. The hereafter, that's what it remains. You know, what remains is the akhirah, that eternal, you know, reward that one would achieve and that one would have, and that will be there forever and ever. And he says that وَالْفَائِزُ مَنْ فَازَ فِيهَا. It is faiz. Whoever achieves that, you know, he is fortunate. Whoever achieved the akhirah, it is fortunate. You know, we are afraid to really, as they say that, you know, the Muslims are afraid of grave, but they want to go in Jannah. You know, they don't want to grow in grave, but they want to go into Jannah for sure, right? But grave is one of the stages that one really have to go through that, you know, pass through that. And inshallah, you know, with the help of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, it will be sahal, it will be easier for us. As we all know, and we are aware of those traditions, that at that hour, at that difficult time, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam will come and assist and help us. This is our faith and this is our iman. The tears that flows in the majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, they will be the source of relief and release for us at the time of difficulties and turmoils, right? So here, those who will achieve that, they are fortunate. And at the same time, وَالشَّقِيُّ مَنْ شَقِيَ فِيهَا. And those who will not achieve the akhirah, they will be the misfortunate one. You know, there's no turning back there. He ends up this khutbah this way, and then he puts the lights off, and then he asks the people to go. You know, nobody moved. And finally, you know, the silence was broken, and they all said that, we will support you, O Hussein, no matter what. If they kill us, if they burn us 70 times, so on and so forth. Now, Imam points out to that reality that Allah, thank you for providing me with the eyes, ears, and heart which have that understanding. And the ayah of the Quran says that these people who are unaware of it, they are considered as ghafilun, the forgetful one. And being forgetful is also part and parcel of human nature. And it is something that is very much required to have it. Otherwise, he will be stuck with the problems that he is facing. You know, with the sorrow, with the difficulties that he will face. He will be stuck with that. He needs to forget. Right? So forgetfulness is also required to a certain extent. But overdose of it, you know, it will take away from the right path. So here, how one could really avoid being forgetful? As we said, the dua of Munajat al-Shakin, where the Imam is complaining, Inna nafsa ammarada bisu. My nafs commands me to do evil. That's how I am. That's how my nafs is. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Except that soul which has been protected by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we always have to tap into the mercy of God. We always have to ask Allah to really protect me. Because the nafs is naturally like that. The nafs naturally loves entertainment, as we said. Imam is complaining to Allah that that's how you made the nafs, and I love entertainment. It requires that, it likes that. No matter how much, it will fall onto that. Right? You know, if you look at the children, you know, they will listen to a bit, but the entertainment has to be there. They have to have the gadget. Somehow they make themselves busy, because that's how the nafs is, right? You know, so therefore, the Imam Sajjad complains to God. This is how you made it. But we have to channel that entertainment must be required, so on and so forth, and fulfilling that at the same time, focusing on the reality. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, you know, how one would really come out of that ghaflat? Number one is by utilization of our aql and intellect. See, when a person becomes ghafil, if I see things independent, you know, if I see things independent by itself and having, and they are not depending on any others, right? For instance, when our young ones who are playing Xbox, do you guys play Xbox? PlayStation?
Yes.
All right. When you are playing, right, you forget who it does that belong to. Your mother asks you to do something, you are so busy playing the Call of Duty, right? Or I don't know, right? You don't just forget, right? Who it belongs to. You see that you are the owner of that Xbox. You see that as there's nobody could do anything because you're so much involved in that playing. But the mother comes and she unplugs it. That's the end of it. It depends on your mother. It depends on your father. So the nafs is like that. Our nafs is focused and we see things as independent. They don't see it as dependent on others. If someone who is assisting me and helping me, you know, my boss, for example, I would be like left and right of him. You know, I will buy him gifts, I will do this thing, I will do that thing, I will try to praise him. But I'm not seeing that, Baba, he is dependent on God. He is the one. Yes, I should be kind towards him. I should give him a gift. But if my intention is that, if my risk and rosy is from him, and because of him I'm doing this all chaplaincy and all this sort of, you know, I'm speaking really great about him, then I'm not looking at him as, you know, dependent. You know, I'm looking at him as independent. He is the provider of it. So the same way, the eyes, the tongue, our hand, our mind, our heart, we think that we are the owner of it. It is my eyes, I could look wherever I want. It is my tongue, it is my ears, I could listen whatever I want. Just one little thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that there, it's gone. Complete darkness, he becomes blind. That tongue, that saliva, if it doesn't produce saliva, that's the end of it. There's no taste. No matter how tasty Hyderabadi food you have, right? Or no matter how, you know, hot food you have, same taste. It will taste like a cardboard. You're just chewing a cardboard. Because I think that I'm the owner of this tongue. I'm the owner. It belongs to me. I can do whatever I want. But everything depends on God. It is given by God. As soon as I realize that this ni'mat is from Allah, then I will not be ghafil. Oh Musa, how shall I? You know, Allah says to Musa, oh Musa, connect the creation to me through reminding the creation of the ni'mat that Allah have provided to them. So if we are reminded that what Allah have given us, then we will not be forgetful. We will be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every second of our life. But we don't. Amirul Mumineen says that the reason, because man is either focusing about the past, which is gone, or he's focusing about the future, which has not come yet, it's still doubtful, but he does not focus on the hazir, on the present situation, where he is and what he is doing. Most of our problem is that, at this very moment, just think for a second, at this very moment, right, this present moment that we are living in, this is the best moment that we could have ever imagined, and really thank Allah for that. That we are sitting in a majlis of Imam Hussein. We've been given the opportunity to be here in this presence, right? This is the best moment that one could ever imagine. But we are thinking about the past, or we are thinking about the future. When is Maulana going to finish his speech, and when I will go back home, and maybe it's this and that and the other, or We are trying to connect those things which have gone in the past or which is coming in the future. The moment is very important. We are forgetful of that. You know, when we are praying Salat, you know, many of us tend to be forgetful and ask that what can we do to concentrate in prayer. If we just think every moment that moment that what we are doing, if we think about that, you know, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil, what a beautiful moment that is. If we compare that end of Alhamdulillah, if we want to think about the past, we would say that what we have done, Hamd, was really great. But if we do that, we will be missing Qulhu Allahu Ahad. You see what I mean? So if we just focus on that every moment of ours, we will be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. We will be just remembering God and no one else. Right? But we don't. So that is what is required. So to be forgetful, we have to really use our intellectual power. It's an exercise. We got to do that. You know, salat, prayers, and all of these things are that. We have to train. Our nafs is really wild. It's a wild horse. We got to tame it. We got to train it. Right? To control it. So therefore, channelize those energies that we got. So when we try to concentrate, then we'll be able to. All of these du'as, these prayers are for what? You know, on the other hand, when we look at what the modernism or those, the secular sort of culture, or those who do not believe in sort of a deity, what sort of culture they are promoting, what sort of things they are promoting. You just got this telephone, this gadget, which is taking away the concentration span of our children. They cannot sit more than 10 minutes, you know, still. Either they're continuously playing, they have to do something, they have to run. So that sort of concentration, that sukoon, that prayers, what are these du'as? You know, it gives us an opportunity to sit for 30, 40 minutes to really concentrate on the du'a that we are reciting, right? It's increasing. Quran, recitation of the Quran, the dhamma, the fatha, the focusing on these things while we are reciting. But on the other hand, you know, when we have these gadgets, when we have this cartoon, you know, if you look at the change of scene that takes place these days, it's so quick. You know, but previously the movies used to be, or the cartoons used to be very slow. But now it's like very quick. And it is ending up giving issues and problem, psychological, mental issues, right? Concentration issues. The concentration span, you know, they have lost it. They cannot, right? But on the other hand, the Islamic teachings or the traditional teachings is to really gain that, to focus on those things which we already have, and really be thankful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So utilizing the aql, you know, in order to understand and see all of these things are really dependent on God, will bring us out from the forgetfulness, from ghaflat. Then the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah. Number three, the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah have given us so many. If you focus on the ni'mat, then we will come out of really the forgetful nature that we got when we remember these bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have provided. These are like three, you know, methods or prescriptions that are prescribed by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When we do that, then we will be able to focus on this karamna, this honor that God have given us. So if we know that this karamat, this honor, Allah have made us an insan, Allah have given us a position, I should be responsible towards that, what Allah have given me. You know, I should not be dumping my waste in the ocean if I'm the CEO of a shell or a big company in order to just gain dignity from the dunyavi point of view, but rather I should be taking care of the nature, you know, of the atmosphere. If I'm the king and I've been considered to be the, you know, the khuddam of the haram, where the haram is considered as the aman, as a safe haven for all Muslims, I should be opening my borders for all refugee Muslims who wants to come, rather than they've been given refuge in Europe or in England or in other places. If I'm made the khadim of the haram and the haram is considered as the aman for all Muslims, is there an aman for Muslims? Safe haven for them? No. A person becomes forgetful, ghafil, of what has been honored, what has been given to him. It is an honor to be the qadim of the haramain, isn't it so? Right? So the Imam pointing out to that, and that's what we see in the plain of Karbala as well. The Ashab were honored, like the examples we gave of Habib ibn Mazahir. That Habib ibn Mazahir was honored by Imam Hussein. And he said, Labbaik, to Imam Hussein. The other companion, Zuhair, where Imam Hussein sends his messenger to the camp of Zuhair to invite him. And Zuhair accepts and he says, Labbaik, to this honor. The grandson of Prophet is writing and sending me and asking me. The Wahhab, the same way. So we tend to see that all those who were given that honor by Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and as Imam Hussein was given the honor by God, and as Imam Hussein says Labbaik to God, and the Ashab of Imam Hussein says Labbaik to Hussein. And that brought that dignity and izzat, which is eternal and which is everlasting and will be there. And it cannot be, you know, robbed, taken away, deviated, or, you know, utilized for their purposes. It is an izzat that is sublime, that is immaculate, that is infallible, that will remain. So the same way, the saying of the Labbaik was also that we see in regards to the ladies, in regards to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in those trials and tribulation. It wasn't easy for the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam to be patient. That's what the Imam said before leaving. O Zainab, O Umm Kulthum, O Sakina, you got to be patient. There will be a lot of difficulties for you that you have to face. And they all said Labbaik to that. And they all sacrificed for that. The head of Hussein in the tray in Sham, when they were taken in the courtyard, as we are looking at the events of Syria, of Sham, you know, when the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam were taken captives, and now they were in the castle of Yazid. Here we see that Yazid is sitting on the throne with the head of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam in a tray. And where he is hitting with the lips and teeth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with a stick. Imagine what Zainab was going through at this time. Imagine what little Sakina was going through at this time, seeing his father in this state. It wasn't easy for Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, but they all said Labbaik to Hussein. But they all supported Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The speeches that they delivered in Kufa, in Sham, and in the way that they were, when they went to Sham, is amazing and fascinating. They were strong, very courageous. They had that strength. And here it's been mentioned in the prison where we lost little Sakina, that she had a dream and she sees her father in the dream. As you know, that Sakina was considered as one of the favorite daughters of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the love of Sakina and Imam Hussein is compared to the love of Fatima and the Prophet. The way Prophet loved Fatima, the same way Imam Hussein loved Sakina. Sakina was also known for her unique spirituality. Ayatollah Jawadi Amili mentions in one of his speeches that the head of Hussein recited Quran all the time, but not everybody had those ears that could listen to the recitation of the Quran. Only those who had high spiritual level, they could hear the recitation of the Quran, or those who had complete darkness, such as Yazid, because Yazid also heard the head of Imam Hussein reciting the Quran. The two opposite poles. There's something very principally correct in this analogy. So here, Sakina, because of her high spiritual status, was able to listen to the head reciting the Quran of her father. So a very special connection of the father. Here Sakina sees the father in the dream. And when she sees the father in the dream, obviously a four-year-old wants to meet the father, wants to be close to the father. She cries. She cries and cries to the extent the ladies who were in the prison, they all started to cry. And finally, when the news reaches the castle, Yazid, and Yazid says that, what a big deal, why don't you send the head of Hussein? A prison which is dark and guarded by the prisoners, the door of the prison opens. The head of Hussein was brought. The ladies lined up in order to take the tabarruk of the head of Hussein. They pass the head of Hussein from one hand to the other, and finally it reaches to that little Sakina. As the little Sakina takes the head of Hussein, she kisses the lips of the father. And she says, the first thing that she asks, the father, have they given you water before they slaughtered you? Because water is the basic right of a human being. Even the animal is given water before they slaughter the animal. Sakina asked that, oh father, have they given you water? You know, she could have done the marsiya, or she could have complained of the suffering that she went through. But she did not complain of the suffering. But the first thing she asked was that, oh father, they gave you water before they slaughter you. Oh father, look what they have made of you. Look, why is your hair full of blood? Why is your beard full of blood? After speaking to the father, then she complains that, oh father, after you were gone, our tents were burnt. Oh father, after you were gone, my earrings were snatched. Oh father, after you were gone, do you know who they bet the most? It was my aunt Zainab. Whenever they get in trouble, they will come and attack my aunt Zainab the most. And then she speaks, she recites poetry, and she becomes tired and she sits down by placing her head upon the head of the father. And she is still. She is not moving. And Zainab's move forward and she shakes the shoulder of Sajjad. Oh Sajjad, look at Sakina. Sajjad sits down, shakes Sakina's shoulder, and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And it was in this very prison that Sajjad digs up a grave. And it was in this very prison a little grave was digged and Sakina was buried there in the same burnt clothes that she had. With the same way how the father was buried without the ghusl and kafan, Sakina is buried in this. And that moment also comes when they all have to part farewell. It wasn't easy for Umm Layla and Umm Rabab and Zainab to leave Sakina in the prison alone, that tiny little grave in the prison of Sham. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimeen. Sayalimu al-ladhina zalimu ayyimun qalibin yanqalibun. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raja'un. Bismika al-azim al-azam al-ajal al-akram bi'adad ma ahata bihi ilmuk. Bimawlati Hazrat Sakina salamullah alayha. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله بحق محمد وآل محمد forgive all of our sins, the sins of our marhumin. يا الله بحق محمد وآل محمد increase the daraja of our marhumin and mahshur them with Ahl Bayt عليهم السلام. يا الله بحق محمد وآل محمد haste the reappearance of our 12th Imam. Include us as the faithful companions of the 12th Imam. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect the life, honor, dignity of all of the lovers of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, give us strength and tawfiq that before we die, we do the ziyarat of Arba'een of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect the shrines, the azadari, the majalis, the matam of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam all across the globe. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect our religious institutions of Najaf and Qom and also the Maraj-e-Izam, particularly Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, give shifa-i kamil, especially those who have requested us for prayers, give them shifa. Bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect our elderly ones, our parents, if they are sahib-e-hayat, give them health. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, let our last breath in this life be the joyous breath by looking at the faces of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam, and we all be gathered together in Barzakh and hereafter with Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. Matam-e Hussain.
Salam-e Kabe-ye Dilha Hussain Jahan. Salam-e Sham-e Ma Filha Hussain Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan.
سلامی میفیه قلب پیامبر، سلامی میفیه قلب پیامبر، سلامی زاده زهرا حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم.
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم، همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم، همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم، غمت را از دل و جان میپذیرم، غمت را از دل و جان میپذیرم، کنم برپا عزا یت را حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم،
سلام کعبه دلها حسین جانم، سلام کعبه دلها حسین جانم، سلام شمع من فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم،
سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم، سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم، سلام ای رهبر والا حسین جانم، سلام ای میفه قلب پیامبر، سلام میفیه قلب پیامبر، سلام زاده زهرا حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم،
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم، همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم، همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم، غمت را از دل و جان میپذیرم، غمت را از دل و کنم برپا عزا یت را حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم.